Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Here, Mary and I are the co-presenters at Mighty Women Arise. We have received from the Lord a mighty download. And yesterday we met with our speaker, and we met with her a couple of times. And it's just amazing how God works out all the different details for us. We were amazed, and yet we shouldn't be. How God has created in us a similar activities and thoughts and things that are going to be presented. And we just wanted you to know that God is going to do a mighty thing. It's really important that ladies, you come. We have room for 60 ladies, and so we want you to bring your friends, your neighbors, and we want to bless women, and we want to be a blessing. So our scripture is going to be Ephesians 2:17 through 19, and we are going to be rooted, grounded, and grown in love during this time. So it's going to be a beautiful time in the Lord, and I'm going to let Mary kind of share.
The conference is going to be for anyone, any woman, any female, that would like to join us. If you have someone, if you have a friend, a family member, female, we're allowing, because it is so important, and the message that we're doing is just amazing that the Lord has given us. We are allowing for some children, girls, to come in as well, starting with the age of 16. So if you know of someone, or you have a daughter, you have a niece that you think would be able, definitely blessed by what is going to be presented, please, please consider bringing them with you, because it is going to be a great blessing. And while we were discussing what we were going to be doing, the three of us had gone for breakfast, and it was so beautiful in the morning that we sat outside for a little bit and just enjoyed the morning as it was. And when we went inside, we were so busy, so involved, talking about the plans and what we're looking forward to, what we were going to see. And I know that you're all going to be surprised with the way that the conference is going to be set up. I know that you are going to be so blessed. But while we were talking and getting ready to leave, Julissa had to leave, so she left first. Linda and I sat there, and we were discussing about what we were talking about, when a gentleman stood up and walked by and said, "You ladies have a good morning." And we thought, oh, that was very sweet. You know, it's nice when someone blesses your morning like that. And so we stayed there for a few more minutes, like, you know, women do. Talk. And then we still had the bill. So I was going to split it with Linda. And she tried to get the young man, the server, to take it, or to see if we could pay for it. And they said that gentleman just walked out, paid for your meal. And we just kind of, we didn't know what to think. We both wanted to cry. We were both just kind of like, and looking at each other. And it was just so amazing. We said, yeah, the gentleman just walked out the door. And, well, needless to say, neither one of us was going to be able to run after him and stop him to thank him. But it was so sweet, and it was unexpected. And Linda gave the perfect analogy. She said it was like the Lord was giving us a little wink and telling us, good job, girls. Keep it up. So please, please. Mark your calendars, put it in your phone, put it on an index card, put it on your bathroom window, your mirror, wherever you need, on the refrigerator, as a reminder. Please, the sign-up sheet is in the back. It is on May 15th and 16th. It's a Friday and a Saturday. Friday evening, we'll start with dinner at 6 o'clock. And you got to be here. It is going to be so great. Okay?
It's only going to be 2 hours on Friday, but it's really important that you come on Friday because it's going to set the tone for Saturday. And it's going to, you're going to be blessed. You'll be encouraged. Every now and then, you know, we get a little stagnant. And we need, you know, a refilling and a restoring and a renewing of our minds and our spirits so that we can serve the Lord in a mighty way, bringing others to Him. And it's really going to be a conference of love. And ladies, you don't have to cook. You don't have to bring anything. You just need to show up and sit at the feet of our Lord and learn and be encouraged and be blessed. So there we go.
Okay.
Lord, I just ask that you help us to keep our minds clear today, that our only focus is on you while we're here together with you, Lord, that we have a unity in here. God, that you speak through Pastor today, that your people will receive what's being told. And God, I just ask that, you know, whatever scriptures that we receive, that we use it for the glory of your kingdom. That we use it to enrich not just our lives, but the lives of others, Lord. Help us be a light to this world, one where we can actually show the love of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go to worship.
You know that the Bible says that, well, Jesus is talking, and he tells us that I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? No man comes to the Father but through me, right? I read that during the week because it kept coming up in my spirit. I could just feel it. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna go back and read it. And I loved that when I read it, it talks about, well, that part, right? That's the main part, because that's the part that kept coming up. But as you keep reading through it, it talks about how you gotta know what God did for you, right? See, we celebrate Resurrection Sunday for a reason, because it is significant to us. Not just a little bit, but a lot. Because he defeated death and paid the price for our sins that we might be able to commune with him regularly, right? Okay? That's what we know. But what's really awesome about when you read some of these things and these, you know, all God talks to us about a transforming of our minds that happens, right? And it's like getting these little tidbits of revelation as you go after him. But it was really cool because as I read through the rest of those scriptures, that's exactly what it was talking about. See, we got to know who Jesus is and what he did for us, because it's important. See, it goes on to talk about how if you know him, you know my Father. If you know who my Father is, you know who I am. See, that's the thing. They don't contradict each other. They're not separate. They're not different in the sense of like, oh, this one says this over here, but then he says something completely over here, different over here. No. See, they're one. You know him, you're going to know it all. You know who he is, you're going to know that Jesus paid a price for you, right? See, and then if you take it a step further, I can really feel this. If you take it a step further, see, he says, if you know me, you know the Father. And he talks about how it, how does it say? I in him, him in me, and me in you. See, I can really feel this. I don't know who it's for. But listen, you get to know him, you get to know all of it. And then not only do you get to know who he is, but you become a reflection of who he is because now he's in you. See, that's the thing. It works full circle, right? You know who he is. You know who the Father is. You know who you are because you know who he is in you. See, it really builds something up. Because it's not that you have to do anything. It's that you gotta get to know who he is. See, we want to make things so complicated on a regular basis when God's just saying, just get to know me. Just spend time with me. Just stop trying to do everything and just spend some time. Get to know who I am. And as you get to know who I am, you'll know what you need to know. See, that's the thing. We are most powerful to a world who needs him when we reflect who he is. When we start learning to let go of all of the I want, I need, I think, and start thinking, okay, God, what do you want? What do you need? What do you think? See, it is a full-on transforming of your mind that happens when you realize that the only thing you need is to know who he is. To spend some time, to rest in it, to understand that, whew. See, if you're struggling with something this morning and it keeps coming back and it keeps coming back and it keeps rearing its head, just know you don't have to do anything. Just go to God. See, this is the importance, right? As you get to know God, he's going to weed things out. Whew. This might sound harsh, but I can really feel like he's saying to say it. If you're still struggling with it, it's because you're not going after him. You're doing things on your own. See, God is a fixer. He really is. He's a healer. He breaks chains. He does all those things. He doesn't say, I'm going to shackle you with more. I'm going to give you more hard times. I'm going to give you... No, he tells us that he gives us peace, joy, love, all of those things, right? See, sometimes when we keep meaning those same things over and over, it's because we're not going after God for it. See, this, whoo, church, oh my goodness. Oh, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to run. Listen, when you start doing what you're supposed to, I'm gonna guarantee, no, I know, because I know God's saying it. There becomes a clear division between who you were and who you are. See, God changes things. As you get to know him, you reflect who he is, which means the things of you begin to go away and the things of him begin to just shine through and pull forth like none other, right? It's a pouring in that he really does. See, it's a weeding out that he does. It's a moving that he does. It's not by our might, but by his, says the Lord, right? See, that's the thing. He knows what he's doing. See, when the bride rises up, it's because they're reflecting who he is. It's because there's a division between the world and his bride, right? See, he is waiting for us to understand the simplest fact that is, as you get to know me, I will show you things. As you get to know me, you'll begin to look like me. See, he is in us, but it takes us spending time in the Word, spending time with God, allowing him to move and do things in our life for Shandarahiria Rakai. it to start showing in you. See, don't think that God's not there. Don't think that God's not fixing it or helping you or listening to you, because he is. But sometimes we've heard a lot of scriptures over time, right? There's things that we believe. Have faith like a mustard seed. You can move mountains, right? But how often are they just words that come out of your mouth? And how often are they actual steps that you take in your life? See, that's the thing. We gotta get to know him on a deeper level. Not just a fundamental, rudimentary level of like, okay, I'm showing up to church, I'm doing the things I gotta do, I know the words I'm supposed to know. No, it's about actually building a relationship with him, getting to know who he is, really getting to know who he is. Because as you do, there is no way that your life will not reflect who he is, because he'll begin to work, he'll begin to show things, he'll begin to move in your life, he'll begin to give you new things, he'll change your perspective, he'll change the way you look at things, the way you act, the way you see. The things that are physical to you will no longer be the only thing you look at. You'll be looking at the kingdom. See, your perspective will shift. Hallelujah. I'm talking to zombies, but I'm like ready to run. I just can't. Guys, it is life changing. No joke. It is. If you let God move in your life will change. It won't be the same. It'll be different. It'll look different. You'll act different. Things will change. And as you do, you'll begin to see this church change. See, because that's the thing. God's building up a body. He's not just saying show up to church every day. He's saying get to know who I am, because who I am, others need. And as you get to know me, you become effective to people around you. You become who I created you to be. It is no joke. Hallelujah.
As Rebecca was up here getting all excited, it made me think about the prodigal son. Sometimes we walk away from the Father and we want to do things our way instead of his way. And we go out there and experience the world. And it feels good at first, but then as it goes on, the world starts grinding on you. It starts feeling different. It's like, what happened to you, Father? Where are you? Everything has changed. It's not the same as it was. But notice in that scripture that the Father didn't come back and get the son. The son had to come back to the Father, and everything was restored. And that's what we have to do when we have these lulls in our life, is we, instead of eating out of the pig trough, the world, that we come back to the Father and spend time with him. And that's what she was all so excited about, because this is the time and this is the age that this is going to begin. And we're going to learn the Father better than we ever have known the Father. And all the miracles and all the promises that he made to us are going to come. We will have life and life more abundantly. And I believe that's what she was trying to say. I'm not quite as excited as her, because I can't do all that stuff she does, but I'm telling you, I'm excited for what's happening in this world. I'm excited that this is the day that everything can change in our lives. This day and every day, by drawing closer and closer to the Lord, our God, our Father. Thank you.
You know, amiga, I
I get blessed when I hear you. And when I hear you, you know that, you know, when God gives you that that gift, you know, speaking in tongues, you know, and you walk around here, I get blessed over there where I'm at. Because the devil will want to take that away from you, but he can't. Because Father, Lord God, you have blessed her, anointed her, Father, Lord God. And Lord, every time she speaks, Father, Lord God, I know it comes from the heart, and it's to you, my God, that you will bless the Lord God until I cannot believe I can say for the rest of your life, because it's a long time, you know, it's a long time that, you know, you're going to be worshiping God until the day he comes and the day we be in good, in the good land, praise God. You know, this wars right now, you know, they don't touch me. They don't touch me because I don't belong to this kingdom. I belong to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And the thing is that, you know, one of these days, you know, right now, you know, the world, they're fighting for land and stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. When that new Jerusalem comes down, they better make some room. Because it's bigger than all these nations that'll be over there on top. Amen? And I believe that. And that's why it doesn't move me. Wars and rumors of wars and all that pestilence and all that stuff is going to be gone. Because Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. And when he does, oh, we better be ready, praise God. You know, God's mercy endures forever. And that's what's so beautiful about that. God's mercy endures forever. I cannot say, you know, oh, Lord, I can't make it. God's mercy is in our lives. Endure forever. And that's why we're here, you know, to glorify his holy name. And I praise God for that. You know, I wish, you know, I come from Tucson, and it's not far, it's only about 20 minutes. And always we want to make excuses, you know. Oh, it's too far. You know, no, it's not. You know, and the thing is, you know, God has blessed me. Has blessed me so much that, you know, I don't have no excuses. I don't have no excuses, and I should be here every Sunday. Because God is good. He is good. And I love my God, you know. And I love my God. And, you know, and every time I come here, I get blessed. I could go to churches in Tucson. But God draws me here. And I'm going to say it again. Every time I came to that street right there, and I walk up, I feel like big old shield of me, you know. It's like I feel that holy, that holiness, you know, that God has here. And this place has got a, it's got a gift, you know. Green Valley says, you know, hey, they won't last. Our foundation is on the rock, and that's why it's gonna last. Amen. And all we have to do is believe in who, you know, who we are, and believe that we're here because God put us here. And if he's with us, who can be against us? Amen. I remember one time, and I'm going to say it again, one time, you know, I was at home laying on the ground right there, you know, and on the floor, and you know, the balas, you know, I was, you know, just passed out. But I opened my eyes, you know, TV was on. I don't know why every time, you know, the TV was on, and Jesus was being whipped. And then one time I says, if I was there, it wouldn't happen to him. Sure it would have. It would have. But the thing is that, am I tough? No. At that time in the world, I was crazy. I wasn't tough. I was crazy. And the thing is that, you know, I believe what I used to do. But the thing is that my God picked me up and says, okay. You says, if you were there, Now you're there. Now you're going to fight for the kingdom of God. You know? And the devil's not going to take that away from me. There's a song in Spanish, you know? Este gozo que tengo yo, el mundo no me lo dio. Y el mundo no me lo puede quitar. This joy that I feel, the world didn't give it to me. He didn't give it to me. So he can't take it away from me. Because Jesus says that I thank you, Father, that you have given me these people. And no man is going to take them away from me. Amen. And I believed in that. I believed in that. You know, I worked on the mine for 43 years and it's there. You know, it's there. They used to tell me, Ruben, are you a lifer? No. But I believe that sometimes, you know, we don't know what we have until they take it, you know, it's gone. You know? And I miss it. Well, you're a company man? No. But I had a little girl that was sick. And God took care of her for me. The physician says, oh, you know, don't hope yours, you know, don't hope too much on her because she'll be gone soon. As a matter of fact, in days. And I say, I don't think so. She's going to, you know, God is going to let me have her for another, at that time was about 14 years. Yeah, she was sick and stuff like that. But that company over there, because, and not because of the company, but because of God, you know, the insurance and everything else, I had stockpiles like that of records. And every year she would get sick. But God would bring her up to me, you know, give me, you know, give her that breath of life in her lungs or whatever. And she, if it would have been for, you know, if it would have been for me, God would have given it to me another 14 years. But people were afraid. And God, you know, I couldn't see what the world couldn't see what I see. You know, I knew who would take care of her. And the thing is that when she was gone, you know, and everybody goes, oh, well, you know, she's got to go. And I go, no. Doctor, you got your money already, okay? Don't say nothing no more. Because if it wouldn't be for her, you know, he wouldn't be out in the streets. Because you know what he believed, you know, I know God would take care of him for me. Later on, he comes out and says, the reason, you know, is because of the great power from above. What did you say? That great power from above, you know, keep laughing. What am I trying to tell you, man? What am I trying to tell you? You people ain't listening. God is the one that keeps her going. That's her foundation. You know? And that's the way he is. That's the way he is, you know? God will take care of families. Well, God will take care of us. Just all we gotta do is just open our mouths, you know? Open our mouths. Don't worry what you're gonna do or say, you know? It's not you. It's not you that's going to speak. It is the spirit of your Father that dwells in you. That anointing will break that yoke. No matter what problems we got, you'll take care of it. Amen. Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Praise God. How many say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, hey, thank you, Lord. Hey, you know, God is good. You know, last week we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, amen? And just as I was looking at things this morning, hi, Linda. Thank you. Hi. This week, as I was looking at things in the scriptures and stuff, I began to sense that God was saying something that he says, you know, Henry, sometimes people don't understand what the resurrection really is. that the resurrection, ever since Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, the resurrection has been happening every day to us if we'll believe it. Can you say amen to that? The resurrection is power. Do you know that? How many know that the resurrection is power? How many know it takes power to raise somebody from the dead? Is that right?
Amen.
How many know that it is a power that this world does not understand? That they can't get it. How can you raise somebody from the dead? Come on, man. Amen. And if you did, they get scared instead of glorifying God. Can you say amen to that? What is this? Remember the apostles? Yeah, come on, man. We're singing that song and who is worthy? Who is worthy? Who's worthy? Hey, Hank. Hi, Henry.
Hello.
How are you, brother? Good morning. Who's worthy? Just the song reminds me of when John, the Revelator, the Apostle John was taken up into heaven. The Bible is what his word says, and he said that he heard an angel crying in heaven, who is worthy to take the book and loose the seals thereof? Who is worthy? And the Apostle John writes, he goes, and there was nobody that was able to get up and loose the seals on that book. And I love this part because John he's watching, he's looking around in heaven. Nobody's standing. Nobody's getting up to loose the seals. And so he begins to weep. He begins to cry. And the angel standing with him says, hey, don't cry. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He is worthy. Hey. And John says, and I looked and I beheld a lamb as it had been slain. Woo, come on. You know what? We'd be in sad position right now. The world, I believe the world would be so much worse right now if Jesus hadn't come and died for our sins. Can you say amen to that? I believe, I don't know about what you believe, I believe that one of the things that keeps this world from destroying itself is the kingdom of God on the earth.
Amen.
It's us.
Amen.
Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
We are the representatives, is that right?
Yes.
The Bible says ambassadors of the kingdom.
No.
Ambassadors. What does an ambassador do? He represents his country. And we are ambassadors of a heavenly country. Can you say amen? We are ambassadors of a city that no hands on earth has ever touched to build it. Is that right? It's a big city. It's a mighty city. Isn't that right, everyone? Yeah, they're going to have to clear some property to get that thing when God sets it on the earth. Can you say amen to that? Glory to God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was God's stamp of approval on what Jesus did. Can you say amen to that? Well, Jesus, when he got baptized by John the Baptist, the Word of God says that when Jesus came out of the water, a dove descended upon him, and there were words spoken over him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Woo. What he came to do 3 years after that baptism, when he died for our sins and went to hell, and in 3 days was raised again from the dead. Oh, that did something. Can you say amen to that? It's a powerful thing. I'm going to take you into the scripture. How many brought your Bibles today? Don't show me your phone. No, I'm just kidding. Terry, I'll take that up later, brother, okay? Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8, we're going to look at. Let's go to Matthew, and we're going to talk about this resurrection just a little bit. Matthew chapter 28. Father, thank you for your word, God. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives, God. Thank you, Lord, that your word can be fresh if we're hungry. Father, your word can be brand new to us if we're hungry. So, Lord, I pray for those that are hungry out here. Anybody hungry out here, say amen. I pray for those that are hungry here today that they receive that thing, that bread that you desire to give them today, Father. In whatever shape or form, whether it be biscuits or whether it be loaves or slices of bread, Father, Holy Spirit, you know how to deliver it to us. So, Lord, we give you opportunity now. We ask you, Lord, the Holy Spirit, to deliver God's word into our hearts. If you agree, say amen. 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 If you're hungry, amen. Amen. There's something about hunger for God, hunger that makes that God, he looks at. Can you say amen? Yeah. Well, Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 1, says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the mother, and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. You'll get what I'm laughing about, because this is kind of, I love this. An angel came down from heaven, rolled the rock away, and sat on the rock. Isn't that cool? I love it. His countenance, what he looked like was lightning. Yeah. How many of you have ever seen lightning? You don't see it very long, do you? No. But this guy, man, for some reason, sitting on that rock, man, boom, boom, boom. I don't know. Maybe it's going, maybe it's a little bite. I don't know. It's like lightning. Everybody say lightning. Look at your neighbor. Say lightning. Pretty bright. Amen. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment, his clothing, white as snow. And the fear of him, and for the fear of him, the keepers did shake and passed out. Yes. Became as dead men. Is that right? Oh, I love it. I love it. And the angel answered and said to the women, fear not. Fear not, ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Amen. He's risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. And there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. Kind of sounds like an oxymoron, right? Fear and great joy. Come on, man. What was it? Fear and great joy. It was both. Come on, man. Fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. Praise God. Have you guys ever heard the term flair for the dramatic? You know, I think God has a flair for the dramatic. Can you say amen to that? He goes, you know what? I'm not sure if it was Gabriel or if it was Michael. It was an angel. Is that right? And he says, God tells his angel, all right, which one of you guys got the brightest light here, man? All right, let me see it flash. Yeah, cool. Hey, it's like lightning. And so I don't know. This is me just talking. Okay, you don't have to take these today. But I think it was a bright. There was a, and it scared those people. I think God's got a flair for the dramatic. Did that stone have to be rolled away? No. You know, later on when Jesus appears to the disciples, you can put that scripture up. Let me see what it is. It's John 20:19. And it says, the same day at evening, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. I mean, pretty cool. Amen. The doors were shut. He didn't have to go through the door. He just came in. Is that right? Just like he would just come in to a place where God, where people are worshiping God. Is that right? Where worshipers are worshiping him. And there's some ungodly or unbelievers out there in that crowd. They just happened to come to church that day because my friend asked me to come to church. And all of a sudden, the Lord comes in. Boom, they get touched by God. Can you say amen to that? Can you say, isn't that cool? That's why you got to bring your friends. That's why you got to bring your neighbors. Amen. Bring somebody with you. Amen. Because God's got a lot to give. You know what I think? You know what I believe about God? What did God want when he created the heavens and the earth and mankind? What did he want? Why did he do it? I believe, my son and I were talking about this. We believe that he just wanted to share himself with something. Isn't that cool? His love and who he is and how he loves and how creative he is. He just wanted to share it with someone. So he created mankind. Amen. And then we don't even give him half a day. We don't even give him half an hour. He just wanted to share himself with someone. And I believe he's got a flair for the fanatic, for the, yeah, he likes to do things big. Can you say amen to that? But, you know, this event in itself was bigger than the flood of Noah, which encompassed the whole world, covered the whole world all up to 13 feet above the highest mountain. Do you know that? That flood. Yeah, that flood. Covered the earth. This event, resurrection, is even bigger than that. And it encompasses the earth and it covers the earth. Can you say amen to that? This event was bigger than God wiping out Egypt, the armies of Egypt at the Red Sea. These were events that we see in the Bible. These are big events. Amen. David killing Goliath. Is that right? Big events that God used mankind to do. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the biggest event this world has ever seen. I'm going to say that again. I only got one amen. Thank you, Kathy. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the biggest event that this world has ever seen. It does more for mankind than the world has ever known. It is the most powerful thing because you are included in the resurrection. Do you know that? You are included in the resurrection. Huh. You know, when I was growing up and when I was a Catholic and I didn't understand the resurrection. I understood that, you know, that he was dead, then he was alive again. But didn't know what it meant. Why would God want to do this? What was he showing man when he did this? I believe that everyone is included. Does anybody have anybody that just giving them a hard time all the time? They don't know the Lord and they're just always giving you a hard time. Or you go to the bank and some banker, man, they treat you like you ain't nothing or whatever. I mean, has anybody ever had anybody like that in your life? Anybody ever accused you of doing things that you didn't do or maybe you didn't know and they just jump all over you and man, you know, the resurrection is even for them. It is meant to touch them. And they won't know unless there is a the Bible says, how will they know unless there's a preacher? Is that right? It says, how will they know unless somebody's saying something to them? How will they know unless somebody's opening their mouth and say, hey, Jesus died for you. He took your sins. I had a young man tell me, he says, well, you know, I'm not crazy about the Jews because they killed Jesus. The Romans killed Jesus. But even more than that, our sins killed Jesus. It's because of us that he came and he died and he rose again. Do you remember when Martha, her brother had died, Lazarus had died, and Jesus held back. He didn't go. He knew he was dying, but he held back till after he passed away. And Jesus, he shows up and Martha goes to him, Master, Master, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus looks at her and he says, you know what? Your brother's going to live again. He will live again. She goes, yeah, I know. In the resurrection, he's going to live again. Jesus looked at her and he said these words to her. This is John chapter 11, verse 21 through 26. Let me just read this to you so you see it. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if I had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. Yeah. You know what? Sometimes as Christians, we put things off at the last day. We say Jesus is coming back. Is that right? When? In the last day, he's going to be coming back. Folks, he's here now. He's in you. There's no time or distance between you and God. Do you know that? That's why you can go into the throne room of God today, even right now, and get on your knees and call out to God. And there's nothing that's going to keep you from going to him. We're back before Jesus came. Sin was the wall. And guess who took care of that?
Jesus.
Jesus. Huh. Oh. The resurrection in the last day, she says. And Jesus said to her, I am. Listen very closely to this. I am the resurrection. Jesus is. He's the resurrection. Is that right? Let's talk about this a little bit. I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, and folks, listen, a lot of people, you guys already know how I believe. You already know what I teach here. I teach that death is an enemy of God and doesn't need to come on a Christian. Can you say amen to that? If it's an enemy of God, it's your enemy. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, people will say, well, the devil's my enemy. Shut up. Death is an enemy of God. Is that right? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Okay, is that right? How many of you know that sin is not good for you? Anybody know that? Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
The wages of sin is death. Then he says this, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen to that? There's a separation there. There's a separation between life and death. Is that right? And here Jesus says it. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he asked this question. I'm asking you this. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? You got to believe it. Jesus said it. Is that right? So you got to believe it. If Henry said it, forget it. Right? Henry said it, forget it. But Henry not. It's Jesus that said it. You got to believe what he says. Can you say amen? Yeah. Yeah. That's a cheap little amen. But I'll take it. I'll take it. Come on, man. Do believe it. You know the word of God says by two or three witnesses shall anything be established. And Terry, I'm going to give you another scripture just so you can see it. Hold on just a second. John 11. Terry, can you put up John chapter 8, 48 through 51? See, that's not the only, this is not the only time Jesus said this. He said this to the Pharisees, to the Jews. And he said this, then answered the Jews and said to him, say we not well that you are a Samaritan and you have a devil? You know, Jesus is raising the dead. I mean, well, he's healing the sick and going around doing great things. Miracle after miracle he's doing. And they're saying, man, you got a devil. Jesus answers, I don't have a devil. See that word right there? Some people, some Christians think they're being tormented by a devil. No, you don't. You don't have a devil. Jesus dwells in you. If Jesus dwells in you, you ain't got no devil. Can you say amen to that? Amen. If something's bothering you, just tell it to get out of your house. You got no business here. Get out. Get out. And if you're born in the Spirit and you pray in tongues, it will drive him out. He don't like it. Can you say amen? He is a non-starter. Anyway, he says, I don't have a devil. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. He's telling the Jews. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. Verily, I say to you, this is what he says. Verily, do you see that? Verily, 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 I say to you, he says this again. I say to you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Do you see that? All right. So I'm going to get off of that because you know, the word of God needs to be fed. Is that right? Season to be planted. Is okay? I just gave you some seeds. Is that right? Somebody comes and tells you you're going to die in 20 days. Forget it, bro. I've got a second opinion that came before yours. I have an opinion that came before that opinion that you gave me that says I will never see death. Shut up. Get out of my house. Can you say amen? All right, praise God. All I got to do is plant a seed. All God tells me, you just plant. I will water. I'll cause it to grow. Henry, you just plant the seed. I will tell you, you just got a huge seed if you'll believe it. It's bigger than you can even imagine if you'll believe it. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God.
Well, you know, bro, everybody dies. Well, you know, bro, that's spiritual. I think I've heard it all.
You know why I've heard it all? Because I said those things to God. Well, God, everybody dies. What do you mean? Why are you telling me this? And then I tell you to him, hey, but God, you know, the Bible says it's given unto man who wants to die. And he goes, yeah, that's right. Read Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. It says this. It says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. It is not I that lives, it's Christ that lives in me. See, Henry, you died already. The moment you gave your heart to the Lord, Hank, Henry, or all of you, the moment you gave your heart to the Lord, you died. You died on the cross with Jesus Christ. That's what it represents. It doesn't just represent Jesus. It represents everyone that believes in him. You died on the cross with him. And when he came out of that gate, out of that grave, you came out with him. When he went to heaven, when he ascended on high, you went with him. Can you say amen to that? He took you there. You see, you have a dual citizenship, if you will. I guess that's a good word. Citizenship, is that right? One on earth and one there. Do you know that you can be in two places at one time? Do you know that? And it's not the four corners or four places. Anybody ever been to the four corners here? Where you can put your foot in one state, another state, and then get down and put your hands in it. Anybody done that before? It's the four corners. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Look, I've been four places at one time. Well, folks, Christians, you can be two places at one time every day, every night. Here and there, the kingdom of God. It's in you. Is that okay? You walk around with it. Is that okay? Come on, man. We got to get some understanding of what God is trying to say to you. Do you understand what God's saying this morning? He is in you. You are a dual citizen, if you will. Yeah, I'm a citizen of the United States of America. Yeah, but bigger than that, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. I'm invited into the presence of God. Doesn't that sound weird? I told somebody one time, well, I heard God say, you heard God? Oh, come on. No, I heard God. I hear God. No, God, no, you don't. Yes, I do. Yeah. And you know what? Somebody that don't believe, you just can't convince them. Can you say amen to that? How many of you hear God?
Amen.
How many of you hear him? His spirit speaks, and he speaks clarity. Can you say, the more you listen for it, the more you'll hear it? It's a beautiful thing. Come on. Some people don't want to hear him. Yeah. You know, I wonder why, huh? Why wouldn't you want to hear God? So I just gave you a big seed. We're going to get away from that for right now, because John chapter 10, verse 17 through 18. I'm going to read that to you. Let's look at this. Therefore, does my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again? No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I like this part where he says, I have power to lay it down. Do you see that? Folks, what Jesus did, what he did for us, and what he's speaking to us, what do we see? We need to understand these things. You have power to lay your life down. Do you know that? Do you know it? Do you understand it? How many ever fasted? Anybody fast? Anybody like to fast?
No.
Anybody? If you like to fast, raise your hand. Yeah. But how many of you fast? When you fast, it is a form of laying your life down. Can you say amen to that? How many ever given up something for God? Anybody? I didn't so much give it up. God took it out. He took alcoholism out of my life. Took it. See, I was a servant of the king of beers, Budweiser. Can you say that in church, Steve? Can you say Budweiser in church? You can say Budweiser in church. I was a servant to the king of beers. But when Jesus came into my life, I became servant to the king of kings. Can you say amen to that? Can you say amen to that? See, God, and God wants to remove things from you, but it takes here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, that he begins to work on these things going that are in your lives. See, we all have things that might be holding and pushing on us that are contrary to God. But if you stay in the Word, folks, listen, this is why you stay in God's Word. That Word, that Bible that you have is more power than you realize. You read it more and more every day, you're going to find that it will begin to cleanse and wash you. Well, you don't even understand how it's happening, but the Holy Ghost is coming within you. And the Bible says this. It says you're the servant of sin. Jesus told the disciples, he goes, hey, you know, he goes, I can make you free, and you shall be free indeed. And they answered him and said, we have never been in bondage to any man. Pride popping up. And Jesus turns around and tells them, he that is a servant to sin, you're a servant to sin, I will make you free. And he says, and the servant doesn't abide in the house forever. Folks, he's talking about the vessel. He's talking about a human vessel. The servant does not abide in that vessel forever. He says, but the son abides forever. So when he's coming into you, he's bringing cleansing. If you stay in the word, stay in his word, look at his word, watch God grow you into the man or woman that God has created you to be. Is that okay? Is that all right? Because he has a work, and his work's going to be completed. Have you ever heard this? He who began a good work in you. Is that right?
Yes.
He'll be faithful to complete it. Is that right? Yes, he's faithful. He'll complete it. He that started the work, he'll be faithful to complete it in you. Is that right? You ever heard that song? Do you know what he's saying? He said, I'm going to complete the work in you. He says, to the faithful, God shows himself faithful. Is that cool? To the faithful, stay faithful. Be faithful in reading his word. Because that word has more power than you even imagine. Is that right? He says, I lay it down. My life, I lay it down. And then he says, I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it up again. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
See, now Jesus said he had power to lay his life down. And now he says, I have power to raise it up again. Do you understand? You have that same power. It is the power of Christ. When you lay your life down for him, he raises you up. He makes you new again. I mean, that newness of life comes flowing back into you. And that power that you laid down your life, it comes right back into you. Do you know that God has commanded your strength? Do you know that?
Amen.
How many of you get up, man, I'm so tired, I can't do nothing. How many of you say you're tired all the time? I'm tired all the time. You know, I walk around tired. You know, hey, if it wasn't for the sun coming up in the morning, never mind. I better not say that. You're tired all the time. You know what? But God has commanded your strength. The King James Bible, you know, I'm going to throw in my little thing for the King James Bible. Is that okay? Because I know some of you, well, you know, okay. You know, that's a hard one to understand. It's not when you got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit explains it all, man. It doesn't matter. The translation doesn't matter when it comes to God. It's the translator that matters. He's the Holy Ghost. Is that right? What are you telling me? I'm telling you, hey, stay in your word. Stay in the Bible. I'm going to tell you that in the King James Version, Psalm 68:28 says, God has commanded your strength. Commanded your strength. You know how he commanded the light to shine in the darkness? He commanded the sun and the moon, commanded the earth and all the animals created. He made all these commandments. He says he's commanding your strength. That's a good scripture to take and say, Lord, I believe it. You've commanded my strength. I'm taking it. I'll take it. Because today is a time that the body of Christ, the man of God or the woman of God, needs strength. Is that right?
Yes.
We need strength.
Amen.
Whoo, man. Hallelujah. Hey, if you just looked in your Bibles, I saw some of you look in your Bibles. It says it different Bibles. King James is the only one that says it that way. It says some other thing, and I go, whew, I grabbed that. Get out of here, man. No, I don't. Does anybody have the NIV? Anybody got it with you? Anybody? Terry, put up Psalm 68:28. Summon your power, God. Show us your strength, our God, as you have done. This is the NIV. It doesn't say God has commanded your strength. This is one of the reasons I take that. I look at it, okay. All right. I'm going back to my Bible. Anyway, hey, man, you know what? I could say that because Pastor John's not here. Ah, oh, come on, man. But seriously, stay in your Bible. Read the Word of God. Have multiple translations where you can look and see what something's saying, just so that you can get a feel of it and then say, Lord, what are you saying here? And watch God work. Okay? Hallelujah. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3, he says, you must be born again. Is that right? Jesus answered, said to him, verily, verily, I say to you, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And verse 6, 5 and 6 says this, and Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do you know what born again signifies? That you died, and he by his Spirit raised you out of that death. Is that okay? This is the resurrection, folks. He's talking about resurrection. People have told me, he says, oh, you're one of them born again persons, aren't you? I say, yeah, I am. Oh, you're one of them Jesus guys. Yeah. Born again? Are you born again? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I am. What does that mean? It means I died with Jesus on the cross, and he raised me from the dead, and I'm alive forevermore. How's that sound to you? Boy, you're weird. Get away from me. I will tell you that the Word of God is clear here. You must be born again to even see this kingdom that Jesus is bringing in. And you must, you must be born of the Spirit of God. He's the only one that can do it. There's no other religion out there that can do these things. You see, because it's not a religion, it's a relationship with God. Is that right? Okay? Hallelujah. You must be born again. Acts chapter 1, verse 5, and Jesus, I guess it's Luke that wrote these words. Acts 1, 5 says, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jesus told the apostles to wait on the baptism. Wait. Well, he didn't just say wait and you will be endured on high. Put up verse 8 if you would, Terry. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. I'm going to say something to you. It sounds kind of weird, okay? But when Jesus had his apostles with him, do you know that he had a hard time with them? Do you guys remember that? They were a little rough. I mean, Jesus had to get on them quite a few times. Is that right? But see, they had not been baptized with the Holy Ghost yet. So Jesus says, I have to get out of the way so the Holy Spirit can come. He says, I'm going to get out of the way. And they didn't like the way he got out of the way. Can you say amen? He went to a cross and he died and he was resurrected. They didn't like that. But here Jesus is talking. Here Luke is saying the words that Jesus said to the apostles, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses both unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. Folks, Jesus was saying something very critical to the body of Christ. He says, be endued with power. Can you say amen? Be endued with power. You can believe in God and not be endued with power. Is that right? You can believe that Jesus died for your sins and you still have not been endued with power. That endowment of power, listen to me, listen very carefully, because this is not taught in a lot of places. It's already in you. It's the kingdom. The kingdom of God is already within you. Even when you didn't know him, the kingdom was in you. Everything on this planet that God created, everything that's out there beyond the planet that God created, is in the kingdom. Amen. The earth right now has been bought back by Jesus. It's been redeemed. And it is the place for the kingdom of God to flourish. Is that okay? And it will flourish. It's going to flourish. And God is going to, there's going to come a point. Brother, we were talking this morning, and he said, you know, the rapture is going to come. The rapture is getting, we're getting ready to see the rapture. How many know what the rapture is? That's when God removes the church from the earth. He's going to remove us out of the way so he can go after the unbelievers. Can you say amen to that? He's going to clear the way, but I will tell you, he's going to bring us right back. He's going to bring us right back because he's going to set his kingdom on this earth. The earth was intended for man, always has been with God. And we're coming close. Can you say amen to that? Things are happening. Is that right? The kingdom is getting ready to be exposed in the earth like it's never been exposed. You will receive power from on high. Now, I'm going to read Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. I want to just read this and talk a little bit about it. And I've got 15 minutes. Are you guys okay? Anybody cooking a roast today? Anybody doing a roast? Anybody? Nobody's doing a roast, so we can stay here till 2 o'clock. We'll stay till 2. Is that okay? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah. Romans chapter 1. I want you to think about this in the perspective of the resurrection, okay? In the perspective of the resurrection, it says, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You cannot walk after the Spirit unless you believe Jesus Christ, and he died, that he died for you, and the Spirit of God has come upon you. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You see that? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from what? The law and sin and death. Isn't that nice? Those of you that are in Christ, the law of the Spirit of life is on you. The law of spirit, the law of sin and death is gone away from you. It's not there. Is that okay? Because of the resurrection. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And he says, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is in light of the resurrection. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Anybody, have you ever noticed that about people?
Yes.
All they talk about is their wants, their needs. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to get. And sometimes it's not about what anybody else needs, or they just want to do what they want to do. Bro, hey, they mind the flesh. They're after the things of the flesh. But they that are after the things of the Spirit, they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that right? Carnally minded is death. What does carnally mean in Spanish? What do you say? Is that carne? That's flesh, huh? What's that? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. You want life and peace. Spiritually minded. Hey, go after the Word of God. Is that right? Next verse. Because the carnal mind is enemy, and that's what that enemy means, enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are after, they are in the flesh, cannot please God. Don't ever think that if you're doing things wrong before God that you're pleasing him. Well, God loves me. Yes, he does. Well, God cares about me, and you know, but you cannot continue to do the things that are contrary to God without some kind of circumstance. Can you say amen to that? You've heard me say this before, that the kingdom of God is self executing. It executes the kingdom automatically. This is why the Bible says, if you sow abundantly, you're going to what? Reap abundantly. Is that right? See, it's self-executing. It does it automatically. Whatsoever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. You see? The kingdom of God is already in effect, and it's already moving. The laws of the kingdom are already moving. So whatever you do, he says, he that sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap incorruption. What do you want? So do the things that are right. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Do what's right. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. See, you died. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Do you see this? Do you understand what you're looking at? Come on, man. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead, if he dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, what? Your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you. What's that quicken mean? It's kind of a little lightning. How many of you have ever had somebody touch you and you sense this a little bit? Ooh, what was that? Is that right? It is a quickening by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Folks, these are incredible things. You see, Reuben came up and he laid hands on my daughter. Did you see that? How many saw that? Yeah. Tuesday night, we taught in the Bible study about the laying on of hands. You see, because when you are a Christian, you lay hands on somebody, there is an impartation of power. Do you know that? Do you know it? You'd probably be doing it to more people than you know. You know, you just say, walk up, hey, hello. The kids that are going by, I like to put out my hand and give them a little hand, put your hand. Just that. You see, even that, I believe, is an impartation of power. Is that right? Come on, man. Just one of these. And one of these, it's an impartation of power. It is something that people, yeah, come on, man. Hey, do you believe it?
Amen.
But do you believe it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I was in Safeway with a guy, and we started talking. And while we were talking, I sensed something about this guy, and I put my hand on him while we were talking. He goes, hey, what are you doing, bro? I said, hey, man, it's just who I am. I'll do it to most people. I really believe that an impartation. See, it's not me. It's the Holy Ghost that wants to do it. Is that okay? So why don't you let him do it? Just lay hands on somebody. But the Bible says don't lay hands on anybody suddenly. Suddenly. There has to be something that directs you. So, you know, when I laid hands on my kids when they were sleeping, I'd go in the bedroom and, you know, because you know what? How many of you know, most of the time teenagers don't tell you, they don't even listen to you. Is that right? Is that right, Randy? They're not listening. They're hearing you, but they're not listening. I don't let it bother me. I said, I don't care. Don't listen to me. I'm going to lay hands on you tonight. And we're going to let the Holy Ghost take care of you. Is that okay? See, you got to believe these things. These are the realities of the kingdom. Now, Terry, put that scripture up. There's a scripture here that talks about the people that Jesus is talking about, what men and women of God. He says, they will take up serpents. And you know what? I'm not real. I don't like snakes. How many like snakes? I'm not crazy about them. If I see them, I don't get as shook up about it if they startled me when I looked at I don't like snakes. But it says, this is what the kingdom of God, they will take up serpents. We don't handle snakes in this church. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad? I think that's kind of weird. But then he goes on to say, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. Is that okay? Why? Because they're citizens of the kingdom. And then it says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. See, there is an impartation of them, something that happens when you lay hands on the sick, because you have power. Look at your neighbor and say, you got power. Yeah. See, turn on the other side, look at the other person on the cross the aisle or whatever and say, you look more powerful today than you did the last time I saw you. You see, we are people of power because of the Holy Ghost. Don't ever forget that, folks. Don't ever forget that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you and that you have an answer for every situation that comes up into your life or into somebody else's life. Is that right? Well, you might say, well, I don't know what the... Yeah, you do. His name is Jesus. That's the answer. That's the answer. That's the only answer for anything that comes up. Jesus, what do you think about this? Is that okay? Huh. Glory to God. One more little reading. Is that okay? Because we're talking about resurrection life. It's powerful. From all your needs being met because you're in the kingdom, to all of your children, all your grandchildren, all your neighbors, everything, the resurrection is touching them if you're speaking to them. Is that okay? Glory to God. Now watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through 49. Check this out. So also is a resurrection from the dead. I like the way it starts here. He says, it is sown in corruption. Is that right? How many were sinners before you knew Jesus? Anybody? Three of you. Three, four, five. Folks, you might not think it, but y'all were all sinners. You might not want to admit it, but you were, everybody in the building, you're a sinner. Yeah. Come on. Gotcha. Okay, that's all I wanted to say. No, I'm just kidding. It is sown in corruption, and then it says, it is raised in incorruption. Sown in corruption, raised in it. Now, I want you to notice something. It's talking about kind of a sowing and reaping in these verses. So he's going to sow, but I like the way instead of sowing and reaping, he says it's sown and then it's raised. Is that okay? This is resurrection. It's sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor and it's raised in glory. Isn't that cool? It is sown in weakness, but is raised in power. You see, it's talking about you. You. It's talking about you. Raised in power. It's sown a natural body, crucified in Christ, yet I died, right? Sown a natural body, but is raised a what? Spiritual body. Folks, let it inform yourself. You are a spiritual body. I am a spiritual body. Tell yourself, I'm a spiritual body. I am not a natural body. I am a spiritual body. Oh, God, you got to get this. Sown in natural bodies, you're raised in the spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Is that right? Come on, man. It is also written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Is that right? He was, God breathed into him the breath of life and he became a living soul. Is that correct? That's what the Bible says. So I believe it. So the first man, Adam, not cavemen, not 30,000 years ago, folks. The first man on the earth was Adam. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, I don't care what your little history book tells you. My Bible says the first man was Adam. It says the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Who's the last Adam?
Jesus.
He was made a what? A quickening spirit. Why? Because he laid down his life and resurrection happened. So now he's a quickening spirit. Can you say amen? Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. So you're saying, see, first the natural and then the spiritual. Is that right? Folks, that's kind of a law. It is a law. First natural and then spiritual. First natural, then spiritual. See, I was born by my mama. And I lived up to 29 years old as a natural man. But then I became born again, and now I'm spiritual. So first the natural, always, and then the spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. You might, don't pass over this word right here. Your first man was natural, but now the second man, it's the Lord. Not you, the Lord. You see what I say? I'm going to say it again. Don't pass over this. Don't let this word right here go by without you looking at it and saying, oh, wait a minute. The first man of the earth is earthy. That was you before you knew Jesus. Now you're born again. And guess who it is now? It is the Lord from heaven. You see, there's no separation. There's no distance between. It's him dwelling in you. Can you say amen to that? You know it, but you're not living like it. I'm not saying anything to anybody in particular, okay? We know it, but we don't live like it. He's in us, and it's him. That's why you can lay hands. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. Kind of a weird way to say it, but anyway. And as is the heavenly, look at this, such are they also that are heavenly. See, you guys, look at your neighbor and say, boy, you're heavenly. Man, Henry, tell her she's heavenly. Come on, bro, you're heavenly. Turn around and tell Robert he's heavenly. Come on, man, is it? You're heavenly, bro. Yeah, see, y'all are heavenly. And I like this. This is the best. As we have borne the image of the earthly, no more anymore, guys. Don't bear that image anymore. Don't be going around chewing people out. Don't be going around, you know, accusing people in the church, accusing government and all these. Don't go around doing that. That is earthly. No more. Don't do it anymore. But he says, as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Is that correct? Isn't that the goal? Isn't that the goal that our life should be? That we bear the image of Christ? Isn't that right? Isn't that what God wanted? He created us in His image. Is that right? That's the goal. God is looking to build us and strengthen us like we've never seen before. Can you say amen to that? Hey, how many of you are in boot camp? Yeah. I love this. I love growing in Christ. I love it. A lot of times it comes by spanking. How many like spankings? Yeah, I know you do, brother. Yeah, come on, bro. You love them spankings. Hey. Because I will tell you, when you get spanked by God, is that okay? How many know that God spanks? Is that right? Does He spank? Yeah. It's a spiritual spanking, is that right? Most of the time, it's spiritual. If I say something really off to my wife, that I know I hurt her feelings, I'll get spanked immediately. God doesn't let me off of that. He said, you need to tell her you're sorry. But I'm not sorry, God. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. You need to go tell her you're sorry. Oh, boy. You see, we need to be bearing the image of the heavenly because it's who we are. It's what he created for us. Can you say amen to that? The resurrection is so much more than just Jesus coming out of the grave and going into heaven and then sitting up there watching us. No, it's so much more. It's actually active in your life right now, if you'll believe it. Can you say amen? Let's stand up. Praise God. I'll let you go. I went 5 minutes over. The roast is burned. Might as well go to McDonald's. McDonald's is good. McDonald's is good to take your money. Yeah, hallelujah. Yeah, I hope this don't play. Yeah, it's going to go out. Anyway, listen, you are a representative of the kingdom. God dwells in you, okay? Check yourself in everything you do, everything that you say, everything that you think. Check yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to rule in your life. Is that okay? Is that all right? It's called resurrection power. Is that okay? I want to walk in power. I'm looking for the day when people will come in here and all of you, oh, they need a healing. And you'll just kind of lay hands on them, freak them out a little bit, and they get healed. Can you say amen to that? It's cool, man. God wants to do great and mighty things, but he needs people that are willing to move. Can you say amen? I'm not talking about moving out of town. I'm talking about moving for him. Is that okay? Praise God. So let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are able to do far abundantly above all that we ask or that we think. And Lord God, that the words that we've said this morning, Lord, that you would penetrate the hearts. Father God, cause your word to find place in the hearts of your people. I thank you for it, God. I praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you say amen, amen. Glory to God. Hey, hug somebody, shake their hand, and say, hey, Happy New Year. I don't know. Just praise God. Whatever.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.